Hello, welcome to Women of the Future. Today we will be taking up the subject of spirituality means knowing your own depth. In this series, we are looking at a variety of subjects that concern women. We are looking at imparting tools so that you can empower yourself spiritually and become and take yourself closer to the spiritually empowered person that you would like to become. Sister Denise, very, very warm welcome.
Thank you.
A sentence that you used a few episodes ago where you said that people tend to live on the surface of their bodies. I found that expression very curious, and I somehow think that it is linked to today's topic.
Yes, well, of course it is. And living on the surface of your body means you're operating from your skin, your eyes, your senses, and out into the material world. And today we want to go deep inside, very deep.
Okay. Now, Sister Denise, it is a given that most people, and most women especially, are highly reluctant to make that journey. One of the reasons is that we prefer to draw on other people and things and even animals for our energy rather than dig deep.
Well, if you think about maybe a small minority perhaps, but I think that it's very much part of the feminine psyche to be connected with the depths, you know. And I think that some of the great women that history has seen are those who are absolutely connected with their core, with their inner depth, and that out of that comes their contribution to history. There are many who do live superficially, but let's also talk to those who really want to enjoy their depth.
Yeah, I'm sure this program has invoked many such listener who is waiting to see what you have to say. One's depth, how do you find it?
Well, I think it's all about yourself, you know. Are you, and I also think, you know, a bridge across a big river. If you want to make a suspension bridge, you have to dig very, very deep, so that you can have high towers that are maybe as high as the depth that it will go, so that you can hold with those cables, you can hold up the road or the railway line. And I think that finding one's depth lets you know the altitude at which you can fly, because I think the two are connected. So there are a lot of people who are not that deep and can't go very high, so it's sparrows. But you know, there are larks. Larks fly very high, the singing birds, the larks. Eagles, of course, fly very high as well. It's really about understanding what kind of self am I. The world we live in today actually discourages people from being deep. If you're deep, there's something wrong with you. You might be a bit mad.
Yeah, that is very obvious, and that provides a very real resistance to somebody who is interested in exploring their own depths, doesn't it?
Yes.
And Sister Denise, the world of materialism offers so much on the outside, so many distractions that it's guaranteed that you could miss your depth totally and, well, assume that it's not there.
A lot of women have had to go through a lot of pain, trauma, and so on, which sits on the top of your depths. And so in order to go to your depths, you may have to pass through that area. And then people don't like to be in touch with their pain. You see, because there is pain inside souls at this time. And women being specially sensitive, your pain is going to be all that much more painful. When you go to the core, to the very depth, it's almost like going to the depth of the earth. And there was a beautiful article in the National Geographic magazine which talked about an oil drilling exploration that was done, where they penetrated a cave, and so they sent men down in spacesuits because it was quite deep, so it was very hot. And when they went down there, they found it was full of the most beautiful and gigantic crystals. And I think that that's a very beautiful analogy for what is really there at the great depths of a person's psyche, if you are willing to make the journey to go down there. And when you are aware of that gorgeous core, that also allows you to fly very high in the outer world and actually do something of significance and something that will carry the world forward, you know?
Sister Denise, what motivates a person, a woman, to find her depths? It's not something that she wakes up one day and does it.
I think that you may well just wake up one day and say, you know what, self, however I'm living, whatever it is way too shallow. I don't like it, can't stand it. If this is all there is, I'm not interested. And that wake-up call can be a very good reason to go deep, yeah.
Okay, so you either come to that realization yourself, or something in your life happens, or someone in your life happens to go, and then you come to the realization that I need to go down south.
I remember some graffiti I saw in London years ago. Long, long line of graffiti along the underground, the train line. It said, same thing every day. Wake up, go to work, come home, watch TV, sleep, wake up. Is this all there is? And that was something that really prompted me to say, right, I don't want to live like that. And then another time, again, graffiti was speaking to me. I had just recently arrived in Los Angeles, where I had served for quite a few years. And there, on a large, old, rather decrepit building, was written, without vision, the people perish. A well-known statement, but I thought, yes, you know, we have to define our vision. You're not going anywhere. And I think that clarity of vision comes from your depths. So if you're living on the surface of your existence, it's a bit meaningless, it's a bit same old, a bit boring, you're not going anywhere, why am I alive? You know, and people need to have this question answered. What is the purpose of my life?
What is the purpose of my life? Okay, so Sister Denise, in terms of the journey that you make, that one who is spiritually empowered makes to discover one's own depths, how do you start? Do you do this alone, or do you do it with the help of spiritually minded others?
I think that it's something you do alone, but you also do it in the context of sort of like-minded people. But plumbing the depths of your being is a solitary exploration. It's a diving. It's archaeology of the soul. Archaeology is a good image, you know.
Yeah, archaeology of the soul. Who would have thought? Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Roman and pre-Roman area, where there was from time to time archaeology going on, and you see how the different layers of civilization go deep and deep and deep. And I think that your soul is also like that. You live according to the world you're born in, but where do you come from? What's going on down there? You know, I happen to have always thought, you know, if this is all it is, it's not very interesting, which had really prompted me to say there has to be reincarnation, because if this is all there is, it's way too boring. It's not, you know, It's not broad enough. It's not deep enough. I don't want that. So when you go deep into yourself, you also take a look at what you could have been ages and ages and ages in the past. And that also makes you start looking into the future, not just the immediate future, but way distant future. You start thinking of, you know, the large time frame of civilization and trying to feel yourself and see yourself within that. And so when you plumb your depths, there's a question that arises, am I fundamentally a good person or a bad person?
Ouch. Is the answer for everyone the same or not?
Well, I mean, you know, if like I was raised in a Christian culture, and in Christianity they tell you, you know, you're fundamentally a sinner. So I said, well, let's check. Is that right or not? You know, because if you're fundamentally a sinner, the further down you go, the worse you'll be. And then you combine that with the idea of evolution, it's not so good. But maybe, which is what is said in Raj Yoga, which I like much better, is you're fundamentally, you know, a pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful soul, and then you lost that. And so it's about reconnecting with that and reacquiring your essential fullness. And so as you go deep, you get closer to your beauty. When you go deep using meditation and deep thought and solitude and so on, you can really arrive at something very extraordinary, but it's a risk because you never know, is the depth of me really beautiful or really horrible?
Okay, so Sister Denise, one has made the brave decision to discover one's depths. And as you discover yourself deeper, as you go from level to level, I assume that there are levels, what happens to your relationships with the people outside of you? You can go to your depths, but you can't live there. Do you live from a different stage? Keep your relationships as they were? Do you think differently? Are you changed forever when you do that?
Well, I think you are changed forever when you do that. And I think it does change your relationships. One of the ways it changes your relationships is you become much less dependent on them. And you become much more dependent on who you are and what you are than the people who reflect you around yourself, who will reflect probably a much more superficial aspect of yourself.
That's quite something, Sister Denise, if it impacts on your relationships.
Well, I think one of the things that I found as I started to really spend more time in the depth of me is it broadened my relationships, and I started to have a much larger sort of set of people, or different sets of people who might not be able to relate to each other, but I could relate to a lot more different types of people and levels of people, and that was very enriching for me. You know, and it's always like that. I keep extending my horizons like that.
Okay, what happens to your relationship with matter, with your life in general? How is it impacted by your depths? Has it been the case that you are in a certain profession and after, you know, doing some spiritual excavation, you realize this doesn't suit me anymore. I want to become something else because I am now someone else.
Well, I think one of the things you learn in spiritual practice is you never are what you do.
You mean your job?
Yeah.
So you're not your job?
No. You can, I mean, if I look at myself, you know, and one does look at oneself, you know, I could work in technology, I could work in law, I could work in medicine, I could be a homemaker, I could be, you know, a monk, I could be a plumber, There's all sorts of possibilities. Another reason why it's a good idea to have a number of lives so you can do all those things, you know. But not any single one of the activities that you do to add to your different aspects of your expertise. And maybe, you know, it's nice to be a Renaissance person who's quite good at everything.
Okay. That's not actually my definition of Renaissance persons, but
you can go into many, many areas, not just an area. So never, identify with what you do to earn a living or even what your skills are. These are just things that you have, you know. So who you are, as you go deeper and deeper and you see all the different ways in which you can express yourself, all the different modes of expression, still the actual you is somewhere else, somewhere deeper, somewhere beyond that.
Sister Denise, the reason one is going to one's depths is to discover what is at the core of your being. Are you doing it to metamorphosize? Are you doing it to change your life on the outside? You become richer? Is it just self-discovery for self-discovery's sake?
It's this question, who am I? You're going to answer the question, who am I? And it's so difficult, it's so deep. You can't answer that question easily. What am I is easy enough. You know, I'm a soul, da-da-da, all this information, that gives you the what. But the who, you see, who am I? Am I what I do? Am I my karma? Am I my virtues? Am I, who am I? And what distinguishes me as a soul from another soul? You know, because there's a lot of souls out there. Which one am I?
When you go to your depths, do you find that the tectonic plates of your life shift? Do you shift them? Do they shift by themselves?
I think going down there does cause shifting, definitely. It's like you belong to a different dimension. You're really going into a different dimension, and you add dimensions to your life, which maybe only a few people in your surface life could have any conversation about, because they don't go there, you know. But it does, I think, cause you to resonate with other people who go down to their depth. Something which is deeply private, deeply personal, becomes also something that you can talk about and share and maybe write about. So, yeah, it shifts and it opens up spaces. And I think also it becomes a source of inspiration.
True.
To yourself, to your poetic nature, to your intellect, to your creativity.
That is so lovely. It becomes a source of inspiration to your poetic nature. That itself sounds poetic. Half listening to your words, because as I'm sitting less than a meter away from you, your words are coming at me encapsulated in silence. And in previous episodes, I felt from you a vibration of harmony and peace, calmness, but right now it's silence, and it's very lovely, and I hope viewers watching can feel what I'm feeling. Having gone to one's depths, do you discover silence? What is your relationship with silence?
Well, in your depth, it is silent, and there is silence, and you expand your silence, and maybe you bring it up to the surface with you. Yeah, silence is important. I mean, imagine if you go down 20 kilometers under the earth, it's quiet there.
It's quiet there.
Okay. If you want to have actual physical silence, and I've gone around the world looking for physical silence, and I found the most silent places are caves. I mean, grottos, deep down, deep under the earth, because, You know, there's no life down there, not a plant, not a worm or anything. They're much closer to the top. So it's really, really silent and dark. So there's no sense perception. And, you know, there are people who go into circumstances where there's no sense perception because it causes your sixth sense, your inner sense, to start operating, and you start experiencing the inner world, because there is nothing coming from the outer world. But it's not very practical. You can't live in the bottom of a grotto.
No. Nor can you live from your own depths.
Well, I think you do live from your own depths, because it's from your depths that you operate in this, on the surface, and then you return to your depths.
Oh, so you find a new home.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good home.
Well, no, your answer came as a surprise, I must say. Okay, Sister Denise, God, how does he fit into this depth picture?
When you go into your depth, as you have an encounter with God, because, you know, it's almost as if reality is like a donut. And
what does that mean?
I tell you, a donut is like a ring, and there's an inside space, which is your depth, which is also the same space as the outside space. And so when you go into the depth of yourself, you arrive at the furthest reaches of the outside space where God resides.
Okay, you get all of this from a donut.
I mean, it's an image.
That's quite a metaphor. Yeah, okay, donut, moving on. God and donut and depth. Link those three things for us.
You go inside as your inner space. Now, God is not inside you, but it's by going inside you that you arrive at the beyond space where God does reside. So the inner space, what's inside a donut, is the same air as on the outside. If you want to go out, you're too disconnected from your core. It doesn't work. You have to go in order to arrive at beyond out.
Does God live?
Well, God lives outside the edge of the universe.
And so what you're saying is, by going inside yourself, you arrive at where he is at?
You can make contact. Because if you say the material universe is rather like a donut, in that there's a hole in the middle and there's empty space on the outside of it. So, of course, the universe is vast, etc., etc., but you yourself, human being in a human body, where your body ends is where sense perception starts. You can't have all that much sense perception of what's going on the inside of your body. You have some feelings and so on. When you go inside, you're going into a dimension which is not a physical dimension. Mm-hmm. We can call it inner space. You can call it the mind space. The location of God, who is the Supreme Soul, who is discarnate, incorporeal, who does not exist in the material universe, exists outside. People use the word nirvana, or the sixth element of light. That's the dimension where the being of God is to be found by anybody who wants to go and see. But you can't go there in a rocket or an airplane or any of that, because it's physical. But by going inside, you can arrive there. Because the inner dimension meets the outer dimension. Is non-physical. So in physical language, you think of distance, inches, feet, miles, whatever. But that's all finite. And to go to the infinite, you have to go outside measurement. You have to go to other dimensions. The inner dimension and the dimension beyond the universe, they meet. It's interesting that the symbol of infinity is an eight on its side, where you've got a little point in the middle and it loops.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Denise. So there you have it, what it means to discover your own depths. A very rich talk. I hope, having listened to this, you do not go out and buy yourself a dozen donuts. That's not the point of today's episode. But Sister Denise has invited us, not just from a verbal level, but from an experiential perspective, to discover our own depths, and in doing so, establish a relationship with God. I mean, how great would that be? So I invite you to take on what Sister Denise has said today, and I invite you to experience what she has just enunciated. Thank you so much for joining us, and I'll see you again for the next episode. Take care and goodbye.